What is aggression without speeding the ball up? Here's what it is. It is using your body, using your hands, and doing different things with your dinking so that it looks like you might speed the ball up, and then you can hit an aggressive dink to a corner, to the middle, to some other spot, and then eventually you're gonna get a pop-up, because dinking exchanges at any level, especially at the highest level, it's not just cooperative digging the ball back and forth, just hoping to eventually have your partner pop it, or your opponent pop it up. Again, that's normally what happens at the 4 level and below, but as you get better, you are trying to earn pop-ups. You're not just pushing the ball in and hoping that your partner or your opponent pops it up. So, before we get into this episode, we have to tell you about a must-have for anyone in the pickleball world. If you're an avid pickleball player and don't have this app downloaded on your phone, you are missing out on so much. Meet the Selkirk TV app, the first and only free streaming and on-demand app dedicated to everything pickleball. Whether you're a player, a fan, or just curious about the sport, Selkirk TV is your one-stop shop for all things pickleball. So get exclusive early access to content you won't find anywhere else, like lesson courses, podcasts like mine, and more. Imagine improving your game with the pros or catching the latest pickleball buzz before anyone else. Need more? How about a 24/7 live stream featuring new content daily, from gripping PPA tournament matches like the ones that I'm in, or live coverage of a grandstand court to insightful player interviews? Selkirk TV has it all. You can dive into the action anytime, anywhere. And if you're already watching this episode on the app, thank you. But if you aren't, what are you doing? Download the Selkirk TV app now. It's a must-have for anyone who loves pickleball. Visit selkirk.com/TV to download the app today. All right, guys. So this is James Ignatowicz. This is my show. We are recording from a different venue right now. I am actually recording this on my phone, so we had no ability to get any access to a computer. I asked my Major League Pickleball teammates if they brought their computer. Nobody brought their computer to Major League Pickleball. We're just here to play pickleball. So I am here recording from my phone. It might look a little weird on the, you know, when you're watching this on YouTube. We're going to see. But either way, I hope everything ends up okay. And this will probably just be the only episode we record like this. But yeah, so we're going to get quickly into what happened in Major League Pickleball this past weekend. So I was, I had the highest win percentage of any male player at the tournament. So Ben Johns wasn't there, but I was technically the highest, the highest performing male at the tournament. So that was great. Our team also went 3-1, so our team did very well. So I was just very excited about how that all turned out. And I think one of the things that I'm adding that I think we're going to discuss on this podcast is how to be aggressive pretty much at all times, in different ways without actually speeding the ball up. So how can you be aggressive and how can you look to take control of the kitchen line without actually hitting speed ups? Because people think that, you know, to be aggressive, you have to just be speeding the ball up. They think, what's aggressive? Well, it's a big serve, a big drive, and then a speed up. Of course, those shots are aggressive, but there are ways to be aggressive without actually speeding the ball up. And I think that's something that's very important to be aware of and be able to implement in your game, because it will make it a lot easier for you to speed the ball up and be aggressive if you wait for the right time and you're also using aggression without speeding the ball up. So what is aggression without speeding the ball up? Here's what it is. It is using your body, using your hands, and doing different things with your dinking so that it looks like you might speed the ball up. And then you can hit an aggressive dink to a corner, to the middle, to some other spot. And then eventually you're going to get a pop-up, because dinking exchanges at any level, especially at the highest level, it's not just cooperative digging the ball back and forth, just hoping to eventually have your partner pop it, or your opponent pop it up. Again, that's normally what happens at the 4 level and below. But as you get better, you are trying to earn pop-ups. You're not just pushing the ball in and hoping that your partner or your opponent pops it up. So here's what we do. One thing that we can do is what Dylan Frazier coins, the hesitation dink. So I think he is actually the best at this. If you don't know who Dylan Frazier is, he's a top 3 right side men's doubles player in the game. He's a top 5 overall men's doubles player in the sport of pickleball. And he does this very well. anytime he has a forehand dink where he has some time, so he's not, you know, running and going to hit a slice, if he's on defense, he's not doing this. Just as a quick, we're going to set that right there. If you're on defense, you're just going to try to push the dink in, maybe hit a lift dink, so to speak, put it towards the middle, just try to make it bounce and get back to neutral. But this is not that. This is if you have time, you have the ability to do something with your dink. If you can, then this is what Dylan Frazier does with almost any forehand, is he will try to make it look like he might speed the ball up on any dink that he can on the forehand side. And I think that's super important, because if it looks like you could speed the ball up, then your opponent is going to say, okay, well, I'll take a, you know, little micro step off the line, maybe an inch or 2 feet of space. I'll lean back. I won't be leaning in, trying to attack as much. And if it looks like you might speed that ball up, what that means is you've got a couple extra inches of space to actually dink into. Reason for that is if somebody's leaning in, they know you're not going to speed the ball up, so they're right up on that kitchen line. You don't have a ton of space. They're leaning in. They're ready to attack you. If they think that you might speed it up, there is that element of fear and that element of like, okay, well, I need to be ready for a couple different things. And that sort of hesitation and we don't know what's going to happen, that's going to naturally give people the tendency to back up, especially at the, you know, 4, 5 and below level. People will take a full step off of the line, even if it's just that you look like you might speed the ball up. So for me, I do this very well in my backhand dink. I will always try to make it look like I'm going to speed the ball up, and there's different ways to do it. So the first way to do it is to use your legs and get behind the ball when you're dinking. So we're going to cover this on my YouTube channel next week, so make sure to subscribe to my personal YouTube channel for some visual representations of this. But there's different ways of using your feet when you dink. The first way to use your feet when you dink is to get behind the ball. So the ball is here, you're right behind it, and it looks like you can get your momentum going forward into the ball and hit a speed up, right? You can't really hit a speed up outstretched like this. It's not how it works. There's no real slice speed up in this game. Got to have your feet behind the ball to hit a good speed up, because it's obviously probably going to come back. Most speed ups aren't winners. So get your feet behind the ball and use your legs to make it look like you have the ability to speed it up and also hit the dink with topspin. If you have time and you have, you know, a floaty dink all the time in the world, if you're just slicing that dink back, not really doing anything with it, you are not really playing to the highest of your abilities, because you are just telling your opponent, okay, well, if you, you know, for example, if I only sliced my backhand dink and I never sped up off of my backhand, your opponent knows that my backhand is a very safe spot to hit to. And if, you know, you plan on getting better at the higher levels, players are taught to look for that safe spot to dink into right away, and they're going to find that spot. And then if they ever want to bail themselves out, they're going to dink right to that spot. So I would try to avoid being a safe spot to hit to. You want to have the ability to speed up off of both sides. So the hesitation dink, I think it is something that is, you know, more prevalent on the forehand, obviously. People hit dinks with topspin on the forehand more often than the backhand. And another way to make it look like you might speed the ball up when you're hitting a dink is to use some extra arm motion. And this is only if you have a lot of time, right? Because I tell everybody in my clinics, when you're hitting the forehand dink, you want to keep it pretty simple. Any dink, that is. You want to keep it pretty simple. You don't want to use any extra wrist. You don't want to let your elbow get behind you and do all this funky stuff when you're hitting the dink. So this is only if you have a lot of time and if you feel comfortable learning this shot. You'll see players do it. They call it the Cobra sometimes. Whatever they want to call it, it is taking a big backswing or even just a slight extra jerky motion with the backswing and then hitting the exact same dink. Except when your opponent sees you do that extra motion or maybe some extra shoulder motion with your upper body or something extra with your legs, they will think something is coming, right? If you just stand there and you hit the same dink that you just hit a second ago, open face slice dink, they don't think something's coming, right? So they're going to be right up on that line, ready to attack. But if you make it look like something might happen, if you do something extra with your arm or with your, you know, whatever it could be, you should pretty much find that out for yourself. See what you're comfortable with. It's almost like a bluff is how I would look at it. You know, it's like, oh, I'm going to speed the ball up. I take an extra big swing and then I just hit the dink. And this is how you take control of the kitchen rally. Because since they take that 2 inches or 3 inches steps back off of the line because they think a speed up's coming, you can hit an aggressive dink because you have more space to hit into. So they're off the line. You can make that dink bounce right on the line, maybe a couple inches past the line. Since you're doing that, that's going to generate a lot more pop-ups. Because one thing to keep in mind, the deeper that you can, and this is just my own personal experience. I don't have any stats on this, but my sources that I trust me, and you can go back and you'll notice it in your own game too. The deeper that you can make a dink bounce against your opponent, the more likely they are to either miss it or pop it up. So if you make a ball bounce right in front of the kitchen, it's a super short dink, you're safe probably, but there's also a pretty low chance they'll pop it up. If you can hit an aggressive biting dink that lands this far, bounces, that is, this far behind the kitchen line, there is a much higher chance that they'll pop it up because they're going to be leaning back. They're going to have to get their paddle behind them. Things get very messy in that, you know, kitchen line to 6 inches behind the kitchen line area, especially at the level before below 4 or 5. So if you can make the ball bounce over there, do it. Another way to get aggressive without speeding the ball up is using the corners and then the inside foot of the right side player, as long as that right side player is a righty. So the inside foot of the right side player, that means the left foot of the right side player. Okay, that is, in my opinion, the safest spot to dink into because it's the toughest spot to speed up from. Because that person, that right side player, is at their left foot. They are trying to speed up. If they were to do this, they would be speeding up a backhand from the right side of the court, from the middle. Not an easy thing to do. Doesn't happen often. It's also a bit of an awkward dink. So if you want to get aggressive, maybe look to spread the players out to the sideline and then go to that inside foot or that left foot of the right side player in front of you. And if you want to be aggressive with your dinking, the main thing to remember is, how deeply can I make my dinks bounce? So you want to get comfortable. It's going to be different with every player. So I can't give you a rule of thumb because me, at my height, it's a lot easier to make, you know, the ball bounce against somebody else versus me because I just have more reach. So I can't really give you a rule of thumb here. I would just say get a feel for which dinks are bouncing against your opponent and which dinks aren't. And the deeper you can make the ball bounce in certain areas, the easier it is to control the kitchen line because it's a lot tougher to speed up off of a ball that has bounced deeply than it is to speed up out of the air. Speeding up out of the air is easy. I think it's, I don't want to call it always easy, but it is the most effective attack in pickleball compared to off the bounce. I don't think there's a question. It's a lot easier to speed up out of the air. You're closer to the person you're leaning in. Whatever. We don't need to get into that. Main moral of the story. Find a way. Get comfortable with your opponent. Whether it's, you know, you see it's their backhand side, they're letting those balls bounce more, or their forehand side, they're letting those balls bounce deeper. Find the spots on the court where you can make your dinks bounce the most deeply, because the deepest dinks, if you can make them bounce deeply, that is how you control the kitchen line. And if you're going to dink deeply and you're going to dink aggressively, the most important thing to remember is that the height over the net has to be pretty short. You have to be pretty, you know, pretty precise, maybe 1 to 3 inches above the height of the net, because if you're going for a deep linear dink, the higher it is over the net, the more likely it is that they will be able to take it out of the air. So last thing, when you're trying to take control of the kitchen line with these deep dinks, topspin is always the answer. Topspin is going to go downward. It's just how it works. I don't know the science behind it, but I just know that that's how it works. And if you slice it, it's going this way, right? It's going to go up. It's going to carry for a little longer, right? If you hit the ball as hard as you could with slice, it would probably go a little deeper, a little farther away than if you did it with topspin. So if you want to be aggressive with your dinks, look to add topspin to your dinks. Keep it this high over the net and make them bounce as deeply as possible. And that just depends on who you're playing against. Okay. So we got into that. We are also going to talk now about my Major League Pickleball team, because I really don't have another topic to talk about with as it relates to coaching. I wish I did, but I've just been swamped this past weekend. It was a crazy weekend with Major League Pickleball. I had some good individual results, as I mentioned, which I'm super grateful for. But I was also playing with great teammates, which is very important. I was playing with Dekel Barr, who's playing so well. He's actually hitting the serve harder than anyone I've ever seen. So a fun fact for you guys is the PPA, the Professional Pickleball Tour, which is all individual tournaments, their rule is that you drop the ball from your waist height, palm down, you got to drop it straight down. MLP, and we learned this a day before MLP, Major League Pickleball, that's the team-based event. We learned this a day before the event that actually you don't have to do that. You don't have to toss it from down here anymore. You could toss it up. You could toss it above, you know, your head probably, as long as you make contact around the height of your waist is what they said. It doesn't even have to be really below your waist. I mean, there were people contacting it really above here. They're being super lenient with where they are calling the serves, and really they're not calling the serves at all. It's like traveling in the NBA is how I felt. I felt like I could have served it from anywhere. They just said, you know what, we're not going to call it this weekend, which was great news for Dekel because he is a large man. He's got a high waist, and he is crushing the serve. So that was probably the biggest thing that happened for our team is the day before the event, he was able to toss the ball like actually 6 inches higher and just crush the serve. I didn't do that. I hit the serve just as hard as I do at PPAs because I'm too OCD and just I didn't want to do anything differently. So I'm like, I'm not going to change my serve the day before the tournament. I don't have the confidence to do that. So I didn't do that. Either way, and also shout out to Kyle McKenzie. So Kyle McKenzie is our coach. He is a great coach. He was still is Tyson's coach, but he's also the coach of our team. So I get to steal him. And he is a just a guy who, you know, one of the things with coaching that he does really well, Lee Waters did really well, is when you're playing a game, you don't want to be overthinking it. You don't want to be thinking of too many different things. Definitely nothing technical and nothing really that's more than 1 or 2 sentences. Kyle does that very, very well. So when you're, maybe you can take that, you know, home with you also. When you're playing with your friends and you want to give each other advice on the court, I would just keep it to 1 or 2 things. Anything more than that, it's too much brain power. The best sports are played when the thoughts are minimal. There's not a lot going on. You just want basic guidelines. Kyle was great at that. I would say, hey, and Kyle would say this. Return to this guy for the most part. Dink to this area. It's probably more safe to dink to this area, just like we were talking about. And maybe attack this guy a little more than that guy. That's it. We're not thinking about advanced calculus. That's, I think when you're playing, you know, it's very important to keep it simple. When you go home, you can watch film and you can get all into that stuff. But when you're playing, it's very, very important to just keep it simple. Don't overthink it. And that's what Kyle did really well. And I think that's one of the reasons why we did so well this weekend as a team. So that's all I got for you guys. Thank you for watching.